Hey, thanks for tuning in to episode 70 of the Jock and Nerd podcast. If you're a Batman fan, you're going to love this show, listener, because we hung out with the host of an awesome Batman fan podcast called Bruce Wayne's World. Joe and Jimmy stopped by the studio. They're a couple of local Chicago area podcasters, and it's the most people I've had in this room, and we had a great time chatting about Batman, all different versions of Batman, from the page to the screen. The jock was in heaven. He loves Batman, and I guess I talk about Spider-Man too much. I like Batman also. This is a crossover episode, meaning after we recorded this, we recorded an episode of Bruce Wayne's World podcast, which you should definitely check out. If you're a Batman fan, you're going to love their show. These guys know and love Batman, and they know their stuff. Subscribe to them as well. Check out all the links in the show notes, jockandnerd.com/70. Let's slide down the bat pole and get the show started. Ooh, slippery.
It's the Jock and Nerd podcast. With your hosts, Anthony and Imran.
Jock and Nerd.
Hey, friend, welcome to the show. This is the Jock and Nerd podcast. My name is Imran.
My name's Anthony.
He's the jock.
He's the nerd.
Joining us in the studio, very special guest, local podcaster, Chicago Podcasters Unite, James Terzies and Joe Wapo. Did I say that right, James?
Yeah, kind of.
Host of Bruce Wayne's World podcast.
Mm-hmm. Great title.
Thanks for coming in, guys. You. This is officially the most people I've shoved into this tiny room.
I love
room.
It. It's like a clubhouse with all your stuff.
It's and yeah.
It reminds me of the womb.
That's nice.
Yeah,
it's warm. It's going to feel like the womb in a couple hours. It's going to get a little steamy in here.
All right, yeah.
I'm just warming it nice. I hope you're warm.
I'm going to want to take the umbilical cord and strangle Imran by the end of this.
Listener, these guys have an awesome Batman podcast. If you love Batman, check out Bruce Wayne's World podcast. You guys are part of the Batman Universe podcast. That's like
that's
a collective.
Correct. The Batman Universe podcast network.
There's 12 motherfucking Batman podcasts on there. There's much Batman content.
There's one like dedicated not just to Robin, but to Tim Drake Robin.
Whoa. Whoa.
That gets very specific.
That's really niche.
Non-Tim Drake talk is not tolerated over there. Your band, yeah.
Tim Drake.
Yeah. But we tried, our whole thing was kind of like what you guys do. Like, we want to be like, you know, there's so many out there that just, you know, like, I'm a nerd, but not like that extra level of nerd.
Right.
And it's almost unbearable listening to some. And then there's, like, you know, Fat Man on Batman, you know, Kevin Smith. But he's got, you know, it's not quite. I just want to have something where it's like, oh, your buddy's hanging out, and I can purge myself of that need to rant on and on about Batman to people who don't care about that.
Exactly.
And then just have a forum to do that. So, and, you know, we drink and we get sloppy sometimes. And
we love that level of geekiness because, like you said, that's exactly what we're into. When did you guys start your show?
April.
Late April, early May of this year.
And we should explain how we know Jimmy. It all ties in back to the birth of the show.
It does.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Back in 2011 when we started, New 52 came out, we started buying comic books weekly. Jimmy,
that's right when you guys came in. Yeah, right, September of 2011.
And he was working at Pastime Comics.
And you guys are coming in, you're like, oh, do you have any of the New 52? And I'm like, you guys are my new subscribers. I'm going to be hosting.
So did you start, like, did you drop off active reading for a while? And
yes.
Then,
so Alan,
I'm in the same boat.
Imran was an active reader back in the day, and I was never an active reader. So then me and him got together. We're like, oh, you like comics? I like comics. New 52 is out. This is a great starting point. Let's go and start collecting comics again. Or for his case, again, me for the first time.
I used to go to like a comic book store maybe every 3 months. And it was always like kind of difficult to try and get a whole story arc because by the time, you know, you're missing issue 1 of 4 or whatever.
You don't know when to jump back in.
Right.
It's so not easy.
Yeah,
it's impossible.
I would usually like go to a comic con and pick up like just, you know, a couple $100s and that would of comic books and that and graphic novels and that would last me throughout the year. I'm with you guys.
But the New 52 really, I mean, if their job was to get people buying comic books weekly again, got me excited to be like, look, here's a great starting point all of a sudden.
There was and half of them, and the other half just continued the old stories. So yeah, it was kind of weird in that sense. But no, it was great for DC. It was great for Batman. Batman sales just
But that was like one
huge. But
yeah, that was one of the things. It was kind of like, well, all right, I expected a new start here, and you still got Nightwing, you got Red Robin, you got Damian still. So what was the whole point of the new 52? Just putting a new number on there.
Morrison had to finish his shit that he was doing.
Well. Rightfully so. Yeah. It compressed Batman's continuity into like a 5-year span, which was really weird. But
yeah, still very fucking confusing.
Oh, yeah. Still very confusing.
Yeah, where does this all take place?
I don't know, because like, as we were talking about this the other day, like, so there's like 8 Robins, not really, but maybe 6 or something. So how old is Batman now? Like 80? I don't know. Like, how long does it take to train a Robin, then go through the life cycle of the Robin?
A Robin a year over at the Batcave.
And then you've got to have like a timeout of like, okay, the last Robin just died. Or the last Robin's pissed off.
Why do you think they chose Batman and Green Lantern as the only two characters where they were like, we're going to keep your continuity?
Those were the two.
Well, Jeff Johns had a great story going,
too. Was Green Lantern as well?
Yeah. Green Lantern just continued
on. They didn't
want
to step on what Jeff Johns was doing. And what he did with that was amazing. That got me back into reading Green Lantern.
Yeah, frankly, I mean, that got me back into just enjoying everything about DC. You can just read Batman and be isolated to Gotham, but Green Lantern... like the JLA brings you into that whole universe, I feel. Jeff Johns has a way of bringing these like obscure characters into the forefront and make you like care about them. I didn't care about Green Lantern.
No, but like Jones. That whole thing with the different color lights, I was shocked to think that.
I'm the one that got you into this.
Yeah, but. And then I thought it was always like that. I was like, this was never. He just. It makes so much sense.
It's yellow. Sinestro, but that was it.
He took the cheesiest aspects of those characters and kind of made it a cooler thing.
So back to Batman, because you guys do a Batman podcast. When was the first time you guys remember seeing Batman?
Yeah, that's a tough one. You know, I don't know, because I know I was already a Batman fan when 89 was coming out. Because I remember, like, that's like one of the stories I tell all the time. I was begging my parents.
How old were you?
I was 7 when 89 came out. So
that might have been your first.
Well, not really, because like I said, I knew what Batman was. Like I don't. And my mother was a big fan growing up in the 60s of the Bill Dozier series.
Okay, yeah.
So I remember watching that. And I had a handful of Batman comic books. And I think Killing Joke, oddly, was one of the first comic books I ever owned.
Wow.
And I owned it before I could even read. So I remember distinctly sitting on my mother's lap while she read the comic book and knowing enough words to know that she was self-censoring at some of the things.
Oh, yeah,
because
that's
a pretty graphic comic to have read to you.
It set the bar pretty high, too. Yeah, so...
You're like, what's next? Let's follow up with Watchmen, the little one. What do you think?
Yeah.
Sure, Mom.
So it's right around there, 88, I think, 87.
What about you, Jimmy? Yeah.
I would say around the same time, it was the 66 series that really got me into it. I would just watch it on TV. And I remember watching the trailer, I guess, which is like a preview on 60 Minutes for like the summer of 89 films, and seeing Batman, you know, with his huge black cape coming down, and it just looks so different. And that's when it dawned on me that there's different interpretations. I didn't really have that many comics then, but I pursued them afterwards and very quickly realized there's not just one Batman, and that there's Batman for
all.
You know what's great, though, I think 66, those 60s Batman.
When you were a kid.
Yeah, and then the animated series, like Mask of the, was it Phantasm, was it called?
Mask of the Phantasm.
Yeah, the movie. Yeah.
That got me into it. But I was just going to interject and say, I'm glad you two are on this show, just because if you were to listen to this prior episodes, Imran would make you believe that Spider-Man was the one and only character to ever exist in comic book history, and Spider-Man sucks compared to Batman.
My problem with Spider-Man...
hey, back off!
My problem with Spider-Man, though, is like how many... like scientists are there in this city where they have a botched experiment and they turn into a lizard or something. Like, it's the same backstory for all of
them.
All his villains have traumatic pasts.
Your parents have to be dead also.
It's just the way Stan Lee kind of did things back then.
But he's so relatable. Like, that's you. That's every nerd growing up.
He was.
I mean, they've changed
that
now.
He was the everyman character, and he had troubles that you could relate to, and that was his hook back then. I actually recently went and, I think it's the Marvel Unlimited app, read a bunch of the early ones, and they're dated, but they hold up.
Yeah, well, a lot of that holds up.
This is not the Spider-Man.
The point being, this is he's been dying to geek out about Batman,
and I'm glad to have two Batman experts on. And we can just shit all over Spider-Man.
Speaking of your show in the 89 movie, I listened to your 89 commentary. Oh, I love that, dude.
Thank you.
Like, I didn't even need to watch the movie. I know that movie so well.
Imran slides the songs.
I could do every line. I love the Prince
music.
I'm the
same way, yeah.
So just listening to that, and I was just seeing it in my head. It was very, very well done. I'll put links in the show notes so our listeners can check that
out. We all made like a drinking game too, but we were drinking in addition of our drinking game. So, yeah.
It gets a little muddy. Are you guys doing, so you're doing commentaries for all the movies?
Yeah, we're trying to go.
Every Batman movie?
We've done, we started with the series. Yeah, theatrical release, and then we're going to go back and do like the animate all the TV series.
Oh,
and,
nice.
And DVD releases and all that.
That should get real interesting when you get to the Schumacher stuff.
Yeah, we're close. We're close to it.
Fortunately,
Mask of the Phantasm's our next one we're going to do. But I think we're going to even do Catwoman. We're trying to beat
Catwoman.
Diligent.
Oh, my God.
I've never even seen that
movie. I've never seen that movie either. Yeah.
But we started even with the movie serials. We went, a lot of people forget about
the movie
serials.
Yeah, you guys started with the 40s. Like, Batman was like the first, technically the first superhero movie.
Yeah.
Or did Captain America predate it by a little bit?
No, it was definitely, I can't remember if it was Superman or Batman that came first. So I think it might have been
Superman.
I can't remember. They're around the same time. Yeah. You know, but if you look, I mean, like, Batman came out in like 1939, and the first serial was 1943, four years later, and they're already making a movie. So
quick turnaround.
I mean, but if you start counting like Zorro and all that.
Well, so how was that experience watching that movie? Had you ever seen that before?
They're not movies.
The serial. So you can watch it all at once, like in a big.
Well, we didn't do the commentary, but we did more of a review because that would have been, I don't know how many hours, they're about 12 minutes a piece, 13 serials.
Okay.
So it gets a little bit and repetitive. So, but, you know, I do remember high school or junior high. Yeah, and I would go down, I can't remember what, Turner Classic Movies played them at like at 6 o'clock every morning, and I would go down, watch like one while I was getting ready for school. And, and they would do it like every day, and I would,
I never saw this on TV. Wow.
I didn't even know these existed.
That's the way to do it is watch it. You cannot binge watch it. It's just, it will numb your mind.
You know what the best way to do is Mystery Science Theater, their new thing with Riff Tracks, they do a version of it. That's the way to watch it.
Oh,
you know, that's
man.
Why I have a more appreciative look at them because that's what started the Bill Dozier series. It was them watching Hugh Hefner and his guests watching these serials and laughing at the Playboy Mansion.
Oh.
Bill Dozier stopped by and like, this could make a great show. So without these serials, you wouldn't have had the 66 show, which Batman probably might have very well stopped publication right then and there if not for that show.
Yep.
You know, so you got to give it a little bit of credos, even though unintentional.
Yeah, I mean, that was a Silver Age, like, resurgence of the character in the comics.
Those 60s.
Superman and Batman were the only two to really continue from the Golden Age to the Silver Age.
Right.
That's why you have a new Green Lantern and new Flash.
That's true.
Comics were trending away from superheroes for a while. And
like the 50s.
And then there's some others that are stuck in their time period. I think that works like the Shadow or Dick Tracy. Well, not so much Dick Tracy in the comic strips, but you do have an idea of Dick Tracy being like 1930s or 40s. Yep. Shadow the same way because they stopped publication a little bit around that time period, a little bit after in some instances.
When the crime books kind of went out.
Yeah,
I was showing
Joe,
I got this awesome book down there. It's like the Essential Batman. Like it goes year by year and just flipping through it, looking at how Batman has changed, you know, decade by decade. It's so awesome because you feel the 70s-ness of when it goes in the 70s. There's like kung fu dudes, and then it goes to the 80s, and
so
it's a little more serious.
If not for those serials, Batman could very well have died off around the 60s, and you would know Batman is kind of like a shadow character in like the 1940s.
Yeah,
sure. You know?
Yeah.
So now that you bring that up, what is your favorite, the two Batman experts next to me, what is your favorite iteration of Batman?
Comic books or movies or
anything.
I really do love the Dark Knight Returns Batman. That kind of grizzled,
the older guy. That's like kind of an asshole.
Yeah, I mean, even in like the current continuity, I always picture him like if you think about the Robins, he's got to be at least in his mid 40s or something.
Yeah.
You know, for
that
timeline today. And I think you know, for someone that's been keeping up his physique and training, he's still going to be in prime condition around 40 something years old, and with the world knowledge and experience that he would have built up by that point, I appreciate, even though year one is a great adaptation, it's the same Batman, he's just a little bit a little greener, a little wet behind the ears, but I do love just the internal dialogue of you know, what's that line? Like, there's seven ways to take this guy down. You know, three of them will kill him. Four, or, you know, three will hurt. I go for the one that hurts, or however that line. Just that
the inner
logic.
Monologue throughout
yeah,
the
yeah,
whole thing
yeah.
is fantastic. Yeah. They have you seen the animated version they did, the two-part?
Yeah, yeah. I just lent it to you. I've never watched it. Yeah.
I like the DC's animated movies. The only thing they left out yeah. that fucking yeah. just have a voiceover saying those lines.
Well, because the year one they did,
yes.
and then they got bad critical, and then they changed the critical press.
That's
so I know, and I like that's the
you
best
need
part
that,
of it.
You need yeah.
have the comic next to you as you're watching
yeah.
it.
Right. Yeah. The internal monologue is one of the best parts of that because he. There's a lot of times where he doubts himself.
Right.
Because he's older and he's not been doing this for a while, and I think that's one of the better points of that comic.
Foundation of it.
Yeah, he's almost like degrading himself, like you're stupid for doing it. Yeah, I just... It gives you a different insight
I like
Batman.
The part where he's like Alfred's trying to convince him not to go out and fight the mutant leader, and he's like, but I have to know. I have to know if I can still do it. Like, that's a great moment in that book.
I mean, it makes sense. Like, you'd think, like, for someone to dress up like this or to keep doing, like, fighting crime in this way, some of it has to be a, you know, something like a thrill-seeking or proving it to himself. It has to be a part of
his
art
character.
Again, but.
Has Frank Miller ruined that with these sequels?
Wait, before you answer that, Jimmy, what is your favorite iteration?
That's a good. So I was actually going to kind of bring that up. I do respect the.
I just read the third issue one of Master Race.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that in a second, right? But I do love Dark Knight Returns Batman a lot, but Frank Miller going on, especially with All-Star, kind of tarnished it for me a little bit.
Yeah, worst
so,
iteration of Batman, All-Star.
Yeah,
Batman.
By the same exact writer.
That's amazing.
That's a tough question to answer. I don't know. I love the way that Grant Morrison writes him as the calculating guy who could take down anything, especially in his JLA series from the late 90s, early 2000s.
Very methodical.
Very methodical. Like the planner, like, you know, why are you on this team? It's like, oh, because I can do all this and basically take down anyone I want to.
Yeah. So Jimmy likes Grant Morrison Batman.
And more so, I think my favorite run in recent years anyways is his like six-year-long thing that transcended into the New 52 with Batman.
Yes, that thing is epic, and I want to read it at some point, but I don't have like 500 hours.
It took me a while to like sit down and just,
because how many issues is that? That's like a
It goes from Batman to Batman and Robin,
right?
To Batman Incorporated, and also the miniseries. Oh my goodness, Batman, not Reborn, like the 5-issue miniseries
after
where he might have been Reborn.
Yeah,
I forget the name of it, but he's like flashing through time.
Oh, he comes back through
the timeline. And also, oh my God, Infinite Crisis is a part of it too. Yeah, it's huge. There's like a guide online to what to. It's insane.
His stuff is like it's so convoluted, but it's very rewarding.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's Grant Morrison seems
like
love
literature.
Or hate. Yeah,
you need like a guide to what.
I've never fully gone on board with the Grant Morrison.
Yeah, I'm
stuff.
Kind of the same way.
I jumped in with him when he started doing his Superman run. So I didn't read his Batman stuff, so I came in at a point where I don't think the Superman stuff was all that great.
We've had this talk where he's very dedicated to picking every, like, the smallest example of anything throughout Batman's history is going to be a part of his, you know, interpretation of Batman. You know,
happened.
Yeah, regardless of how ludicrous it is. And like we said, like, I appreciate his... you know, he loves the character, and I appreciate him trying, but some of it just leave it alone, Grant. It's silly. Like, you don't need to have a bad hombre here or the bad cow.
It's almost too much.
Yeah.
So my... go ahead. I was going to say...
He also introduced Damian Wayne, too.
Who's a fucking badass character.
That's my favorite Robin. I think maybe even before, like, Dick Grayson. At least he's got the cooler costume, so... But he's such
and
a
even
great.
Like the
he's
death
just got better
re-
personality.
Rebirth,
yeah.
Handled very well. Like I love that whole bit. Like I made it a point to read that whole storyline because I love Damian Wayne. The minute like him, Batman and Robin, Peter Tomasi writing Batman and Robin, that dialogue.
Oh, the best part was when Damian had died and then Batman finds that note and it's like, I don't care, I'm gonna help you. I'm gonna fight Leviathan with you. Always respect your son, Damian Wayne, or something like that. Mm. Something along those lines, Batman's just like crying. I was like, damn, Damian's fucking... Like, he finally, like, he got Damian's respect, which is like, he's been trying to get Damian's respect the whole time. Yeah. And Damian respects him now.
Yeah.
That was huge.
That shit was great.
The Tomasi awesome. Run was my favorite New 52 Batman.
Tomasi was awesome.
And the fact that they, that's, like, ceased is beyond me, but...
So what's your favorite
iteration? Oh, I don't actually. So I don't have as much comic book knowledge as you, but I'm always a fan of the Batman that's super paranoid and has files on everybody and has
from like, Hush, yeah. Hush yeah. Batman.
Not the Hush one. The like the Tower of Babel.
Oh, Babel,
Batman.
That one. Yeah, yeah. Tower
where he's
of Babel,
very
Batman.
Like paranoid. Like I love that itineration of this guy that is walking among gods.
Mm.
So he's just a man.
Right.
And he
right.
needs to like be overly prepared for every situation. Like I don't know if that's even possible to be that prepared for everything.
But oh, it is. And Batman.
Batman. Batman. But that's the itineration. I like that. And everyone that criticizes Batman is like, oh, he doesn't have a superpower. I think his superpowers is just his will.
Yeah. Batman's superpower is that he always wins.
Right. That's his. Like, you can't. Well, yeah, he always wins. Yeah. He always has has a reason. Yeah. But, you can't break that guy.
Mm.
Like, mentally, that guy can't be broken. Ever. And that's, like, unlike any other superhero.
Yeah, or you get close or whatever.
He'll get close. He'll get to, like, he has fucking demons.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that, like, if there were a few clicks the other way, he could be, like, one of his villains.
Right.
Like, he dresses up like a
bat. Well, that's the best explanation for, like, you know, him taking on the Robin. They said, like, if I let this kid just out on the streets, like, you know, 10 years from now, he could be on my rogues gallery
right.
or something, you know.
Right.
So if I train him, maybe he can, you know, I can... He can be one of the good guys.
Well, like Spider-Man, he has a just as awesome a rogues gallery as Spider-Man.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I think I'd have to say better. I mean, he's probably got the best. I would definitely put Spider-Man in the top five or three. Except
with Dick Tracy as well?
Yeah, Dick Batman. Dick Tracy's
got
a phenomenal
rogues
gallery.
It's true.
And that's the only Batman's rogues gallery comes from that. You think about, like, the Shadow, which is Batman's is the Shadow, essentially the same thing. The only difference is the Shadow didn't have a rogues gallery because he killed everyone, which was awesome. But, you know, he doesn't have the cool rogues gallery. But, yeah, my only problem, like I said, with Spider-Man is that all, you know, how many, you know, evil scientists are in this, you know, New York, you know, with, and they're accident
prone.
Yeah,
it's all, and you know, it's like, I feel like Empire University, just their HR department just hires really bad fucking professors.
Yeah.
Like, everyone they hire turns into a fucking villain. Like,
right.
Nobody's checking these guys.
But I put him, like, along with the Flash. I think both of them have excellent rogues.
Well, yeah, and the Flash, I think,
that's getting more exposed as now we like, the mainstream is seeing it on
CNN. This Flash is a lot more like Spider-Man, if you think about, you know, Barry and his
And the kookier kind of villains that he has.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Batman and Daredevil have always been, like,
Yeah, I think Daredevil is probably the closest Marvel iteration to Batman, especially Frank Miller and all that. So
Daredevil and like Black Panther, sort of like
Moon Knight too.
I'm
thinking about like the resources that Batman has, and that's more of like a Black Panther.
But what's the name of the guy? Who's Moon Knight? What's his?
You know, I don't even know who the fuck Moon Knight is.
But he is wealthy.
Yeah,
and he is supposed to be.
He's definitely a ripoff of. I mean,
he's
a
millionaire. Mark Spector.
There you go.
Mark Spector.
Exactly right.
But I think, you know,
a Jewish superhero also.
I didn't know that. Yeah, I haven't read much Moon Knight, but...
I have not read much Moon Knight either.
But
I heard the Warren Ellis run was very good. I don't know.
No, Warren Ellis,
So,
awesome.
Didn't Bendis do one too recently?
Did he do one?
I thought so. Of Moon Knight?
I don't know.
He did.
You should know. You sold comics.
Why don't you know?
So we're going to comic book store. I want to turn the listener onto your podcast some more. Why podcasting? How did this happen?
I got irritated. It sounds pretentious, whatever, but I got irritated by, like, I listen to, like, you know, many comic book or Batman related, you know, podcasts and other podcasts, but specifically those, and there would be, like, factually incorrect, and I'd be shouting at them. But in retrospect, you know, I've realized doing a podcast is very difficult, and you got a million things going on, so there's been plenty of times where I've been incorrect, but that was one of the reasons why I got into it. Was like, oh, come on, you don't know this, or like, you know, you should know that, you know, that kind of thing, like, you know.
To put people in their place.
Yeah.
Now, you know, of course, you must listen to Fat Man and Batman, it's great,
Fucking,
I love it, Kevin Smith loves everything, but, I mean, to me, like, there's been, like, big name podcasts and like independent, like it's kind of getting
right.
Can I throw
NPR,
a criticism
kind of,
criticism in for Batman?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's
please,
not Batman
let's.
Anymore.
It's not Batman it's anymore. Not. And Kevin Smith is too agreeable to everything.
Yeah,
like he likes everything.
Unless someone slights him in his private life, then he'll refuse to acknowledge like Arrow or the Flash.
Right.
Or
he loves the fucking Flash.
Now,
or
Southwest
Airlines.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. Or
like,
Tim Burton.
I can't stand someone that likes everything.
Yeah.
Like, not everything is great, man.
And you can play a drink game with how many times he mentions crying on his podcast.
He's like, I'm bald. Yeah, he's like, I'm bald. You know, here's the perfect example. This is what I thought was interesting. Mm. He was going to do a four-part interview with Josh Trank. Did you listen to
yeah,
any of
yeah,
this?
Then he only got three.
Director
yeah.
of Fantastic yes. Four and so a former does, director of a, go ahead.
Yeah. He does three in yes. lifetime leading up to the right. movie. The movie comes out, and I'm like,
oh,
holy
I can't wait.
Shit,
yeah.
I can't wait. And we should have known better. There's not going to be no part fucking four, no. people.
John Trank refused to do it, though. Yeah. It wasn't part of Kevin Smith.
Oh, it was Trank?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
He's like, well, you know, there's so much.
But even if he had him on, like, he would have sucked his dick.
This,
like,
yeah, yeah. I kind of wanted to hear how fucking Smith was going to spin this.
Like, a lot of people like, aren't the Jinx this payoff movie. Or something like that, HBO, like... Fuck, man. Yeah.
I think he'd be like, this movie's misunderstood. I think there's actually a great story.
I wanted to hear all that bullshit, and he's like, man, sorry, it's not happening. I was like, of course it's not happening.
Yeah,
fucker. He's a Phantom Menace apologist, even. Like, I mean, he will defend that
He works in the industry, I guess, so, you know, there's that, but whatever.
But he seems to make a lot, piss a lot of people off. For, he has lots of altercations, even with Bennett. I've heard that that's why he doesn't talk to Ben Affleck, because of Jennifer Garner or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's why?
Because
he keeps saying, like, I haven't talked to the guy.
Right.
Is,
yeah.
But I can't
well,
be-
same thing with like Tim Burton. His movies, he changed his opinion because he made a offhand comment to Tim Burton about his lack of knowledge about Batman, and then Tim Burton shot back at him. And I guess this was through the newspapers. I don't remember the whole story completely. But after that, he didn't like 89 Batman or a lot of. Criticisms to make. Before that, it was the greatest thing ever. But
he did write a version of that fucking movie too for Tim Death of Superman.
Yeah, for Superman Lives.
For Superman Lives. Yeah.
He wrote a script for that.
Yeah, and then,
I saw that documentary recently. That was pretty good.
That's great, dude.
Yeah.
Thanks. I really need to watch that.
It's very. I kind of want to see that movie. It would have been.
I know,
because
you see the picture of, you know, like it looks like
Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage, yeah, like all baked or something in this ridiculous suit. But then you see.
Up and shit.
Yeah, but then you see the progression of it. And the other costumes, like, he doesn't look bad, actually.
The
you know?
Designs, you know,
for
Burton
the 90s.
Sketches,
yeah.
But it's crazy. He wanted, like, a Brainiac spider creature.
And they're thinking about Christopher Walken as Brainiac.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah.
I would have paid to see that shit.
Yeah. It would, for the 90s.
It would have been either awesome or completely ridiculous.
Right.
Like, there's no in between on
right.
that.
Because it was after Batman. He was going to do that. Right?
And now Schnepp's doing the Justice League, the failed one. From
oh,
like
oh, the George Miller?
The George Miller one, right?
Yeah.
That would have been an animated film with, like, characters doing the, like, real actors doing the voice acting and, like, kind of acting, but. It would have been animated, I think.
No, I thought it was live action.
Was it going to be live action?
Yeah, because they showed like
there were casting people.
But I thought it was going to be like a CGI sort of thing.
I'm sure there's CGI in it, but no, they had like costumes.
Oh, really?
Okay,
Adam,
so I'm wrong.
Adam Brody from
Adam Brody,
he was in Flash.
Yes.
They even cast a Batman. This is at the same time as
the guy that eventually played Lone Ranger. I can't remember his name.
Oh, right. Yeah, no one remembers that movie.
That movie was great. Did anyone actually watch that movie?
No.
It was a really good movie.
Johnny Depp?
Johnny Depp was talented.
Army Hammer.
That's what.
Army Hammer.
Army Hammer's a good actor, dude.
I implore you to actually watch.
Really,
movie.
You're a Lone Ranger fan, though, a bit, right?
I like the pulps, but I don't necessarily.
Again,
like
another original like superhero character, Lone Ranger, along with Zorro and stuff. You know,
I'm more of a Zorro fan.
Zorro's awesome. Did you see that Apocalypse? Post-apocalyptic Zorro movie? I think that's
no. I didn't hear about this.
It's like Zorro in the future, and the world's over.
I'm a fan of like the old silent like Douglas Fairbanks. He did all his own stunts. He'd be standing on a horse and shooting, you know, with his whip. And he actually learned how to take out the wicks of a candle. I mean,
awesome.
He did all the things.
Oh,
that
he did with the whip. Holy shit!
Yeah, like the Z's and with the he'd be swinging on with ropes and
damn,
yeah.
He's really killing people. He learned how to do that.
Living in the jungle. Those silent like they didn't have you know their stunt doubles or whatever. You had, you know, Buster Keaton, Douglas Fairbanks. They actually went. All right,
Joe is old
it.
School, man. You're old school. Like even coming in with the, you got the blazer and the my wife got me a hat like that.
Yeah.
I got to mention to the listener. I listen to the podcast and I'm always like, Joe sounds like a mix between my. Michael Shannon, Christian Slater, Stephen Wright, and Jack Nicholson.
Well, I had a lot. Yeah, I don't know. I'm a milkman's baby or something. Gangbang of A-list.
I love your
Hollywood.
His voice is good. I like his voice.
So good.
Yeah. Let's get to, like, so what do you guys think about Batman, where he's at today in modern media? So...
Let's start with the page.
Let's start on page.
Let's start with Snyder's Batman.
Let's start with where he's at right now. So... I'll just preface, Jim Gordon is currently Batman in Snyder's run.
Yeah.
And this is a run that I thought Snyder was going to be done after...
0 year or whatever?
No, after the
one
Joker.
After 0 year,
Joker.
Yeah. Whatever.
Death in the Family.
There was one after...
Endgame.
Endgame.
He should have been done.
Endgame. okay, we do a review of Endgame on one of our first episodes. But after that, I'm like, okay, Snyder's done. And then I'm like, wait, no, he's not. And Bruce isn't Batman anymore. So it's like two things I don't want at all. Unless it's Dick Grayson. Temporarily. Jim Gordon is Batman. I've read a few of the issues. I'm like saving them. But I guess it's not just a six-issue arc.
No,
this is huge, long arcs.
Status quo. Yeah, it's what's happening.
Mr. Bloom is in it.
First of all, Gordon looks like De Niro from fucking Taxi Driver. Yeah, he's all like got a mohawk and he's jacked. I'm like,
so it's like he doesn't even look like Gordon anymore.
No,
which
he's
got
no mustache. Yeah,
yeah. They mentioned he's like younger all of a sudden. Steroids or something. That's what they shot him up.
Oh, they've been pumping him up and shit. And he's wearing a suit.
He's also wearing like a mech suit.
A robot, a bat mech suit with log ears. But in the have you read the latest one, 47?
No.
So and then Bruce is he doesn't remember being Batman.
He's amnesia. Right. He has amnesia.
He's got like a beard.
That's right.
He's
he's like
the
they show him at the end of the previous arc as him. Yeah, like
which they brought back one of his old love interests. Was it Julie Madison? Is that
I
who
think
it is?
So. Yeah. He's I think a redhead, he's shacking up with her. Yeah, they're shacking up and. Like, Gordon goes back and tries to bring him back in. He doesn't remember, but...
It's not only that he doesn't remember. He doesn't, like, even want to be associated with that life. Like, he's like, I acknowledge that I might have lived this life, but I don't want it. I don't want to be like...
That's a huge problem. So, that's actually... Joe and I got into an argument about Batman, like, hanging up the cowl. So, that's a huge... For the film that we argued about, it made sense. But in the comics, to me, it makes no sense whatsoever. And I, for my money, I like the different Batmans. I like the gritty, like, crime one. And I'd like to get that in Batman. And I can't right now. So I look to Jeff Johns and Justice League for my Batman.
What I, like I said, what I miss are the stories you can wrap up in, like, two, three issues. Maybe some one. Every once in a while. I really miss that.
Snyder's not doing that.
Or even a one and done.
When he started, you know, like, what, Black Mirror and some of they started, the Court of Owls, I thought was one of the
Court of Owls was fantastic.
Amazing. Except the ending got a little bit, you know, with, I don't know if you want to spoil it.
Yeah, hold on.
Spoiler. There you go. The, you know, the revelation that it's his brother. I mean, like, you're the world's greatest detective, and you don't know you having a brother.
Or was it? We don't even know.
But they didn't really add that question mark in until later.
That you bring up a good point, though, the world's greatest detective. That's something they've gotten away from in comics and in film.
It's a technology.
He's not a detective anymore.
He's got a fancy computer is all it is.
Everyone looks everything up, but this...
He Googles a lot. What was the deal with his... How did he... So the only detective thing on film is that he had his... fingerprint on a bullet that happened to be fractured that led to nothing. Right?
The casing of the bullet. Like, why
he
would you touch?
He doesn't actually do any detective work.
But he doesn't do any detective work anymore.
I missed that.
He googled Selena Kyle.
He's handy with a computer. Yeah. That's about it.
But like this decompressed writing is kind of, it seems to be a trend right now, and it's kind of fucking annoying.
They want to create graphic novels or not like whatever, you know, these things they can put on a book.
Anything that can fit into 6 or 12 issues. 12 issues.
Because I think people are buying these single issues.
The big problem I have with Jim Gordon being Batman, I don't mind it so much, but I've always felt like Jim Gordon was like 60 years old or like 50 or 60 years old.
Like,
and kind of been like out of shape. You know, not like,
when I grew up, he smoked. He had white hair and everything. Then they've gradually transitioned younger. Yeah, I agree.
The redhead Gordon is the Gordon I like for Batman Year One or Two or something like that.
Right.
But where Batman is now, and I miss Jim Gordon. Jim Gordon's my favorite supporting Batman character next to, like, you know, anyone who's not a superhero.
I've said numerous times, I actually talked with Scott Snyder or whatever, and he was saying I was, you know, mentioning this was before he was
hang out.
I like this guy casually name drops. Yeah, me and Scott Snyder. We have eggs.
I thought you had like a specific name drop. Soundbite.
Me and him grab bacon and eggs all, you know, occasionally.
No, I talked about this was before. What was the Riddler one? That was 0 year.
That was 0 year.
Yeah. And I was saying, like, well, you know, when they did, you know, what they should have done is like just bring it back every 10 years. Start off with a year one story. Change it up a little bit. Keep it
first year. Because I didn't mind that. That was really good.
Do 10 years of Batman and then do it over again.
And reset.
Like, yeah. And he said that was exactly his idea. He was like, we were like telling him, like, oh, well, whatever, you know. But they wouldn't let him do it. So this is the closest thing. They wouldn't even let him put underwear on Batman for the original costume. They had to say, no underwear, like, you're going to have the gloves.
Oh, wow.
So at least he had the right intent. I think DC is maybe not allowing as much freedom or You know, even with the Dark Knight 3, you know, they're not really letting Frank Miller write it. They got Azzarello kind of.
Which maybe not a bad idea.
No, that's definitely right.
But now he's doing a 4 because he's like, fuck, you let me write this one.
Yeah, yeah. No, or maybe they're just putting his name on it and Azzarello's writing it again. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, collecting paychecks. Yeah,
yeah. He's fucking Stephen Kinging this shit.
But, you know, another cool thing, I think, like, okay, you got all these Batman titles. At least make them different, interesting. Do a period piece, 1940s Batman. Do like.
They used to have that shit.
Yeah, do like a
Batman Gothic.
Yeah, like the 66. That was a great idea. Yeah. Do something that Tim Burton, like, continue that. Use some of the old scripts that weren't developed, you know, do the same thing.
It'd be easy to do that, too, because the DC embraces their, like, 52 worlds and, like, multiverse. Right. Like, it'd be very easy to do alternate Batman.
Instead of giving me, like, just, you know, 4 Batman stories in the same world, like, mix it up a little bit.
But they're kind of not in the same world because,
right.
Bruce is still Batman in Justice League, right?
So there's the Batman and Batman where he's fighting this dude, Bloom, who has seeds. And then,
like, we need another plant controller. Yes, like,
but at the end of 47, and again, I'm going to...
Spoiler.
Bruce is starting to remember he's Batman, and the fucking...
Weird.
He goes to a park bench, and he's sitting in a park, and the Joker is next to him, introducing himself like he doesn't know...
Really? I thought the Joker got killed.
Yeah, he's back, dude. Yeah.
Joker's
back
never
on the last
killed.
Yeah.
And Bruce will never not be Batman for more than... Watch when
he's coming back.
In March... Yeah. When Batman Superman comes out, Bruce will be Batman.
Oh, they have to do it then because... Yeah.
Do you remember when Doc Ock was Spider-Man for a year until the movie came out? And then,
Not only will he be Batman, but he'll be like crazy paranoid again and like questioning Superman. Like, they'll just reenact everything that he has.
Oh, exactly,
personality
right.
on screen.
That's another thing I kind of don't like about comics now is that there's sort of marketing films a little bit. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, this is good because this is... It's possibly the best time and worst time... to be a comic book fan.
Mm-hmm.
For two, like, it's the best time, because if you told me I was a kid, there'd be fucking 7 TV shows on.
Right,
these giant blockbusters, you're gonna see all these heroes on screen.
Yeah.
I'd have lost my shit.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of the worst time to read the actual books, because they're trying so hard to reboot every fucking thing. That they had me since 2011. I'm going to pass time
rebooting
every week.
It for new readers.
And then you got idiots on the internet arguing because they watched an X-Men movie and acting like they know everything about Wolverine.
Yes.
Like, I did my time. I went through high school with a Batman Forever shirt. Okay, got made fun of, and I was still read comic books, and now all of a sudden it's cool, okay? Like, yeah, that's great, you know, but I kind of preferred it when it was just kind of like
it's cool to say you
thing.
Do, you know, and then you have a conversation with someone you were saying, you know, and then it's like, oh, clearly you know nothing. I don't, like, you're wearing, like, I don't know, a Star Trek shirt, and I'm not a fan, but I know way more than you do.
And like people that wear Misfit shirts and have no idea, I've never, like, don't own an album or, like,
what do you think of the band after Glenn Danzig left, and they're like what?
But, like, it goes back to your point saying, where do you jump in? You know, the argument can be made that, yes, this is good to get new readers to jump in because of all these number ones, but me...
Yeah, Marvel is confusing as fuck.
Both sides are confusing the shit out of me.
They reset every year, and those new number ones aren't really number ones.
No, they're not. That's the thing. They're not number ones.
I don't understand what's going on.
Stories, like, but they're just throwing a number one
when they said, we're ending Amazing Spider-Man at 700, I was like, what? What the fuck? This is amazing.
Imran started crying. I had to console him.
I had a shrine. I had a little... fucking. There was candles. There was a chant. It was very...
Again, Spider-Man is the only character that exists in
I gotta say, Marvel is, I think, a worse at this than even DC does it, but Marvel.
I don't know, dude. Look, compare Convergence to Secret Wars.
I tell you what, look, go on to like some internet comic book database and just type in Spider-Man and see how many of the titles, how many volumes of there. Look, title in Batman, you got 2 volumes, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Spider-Man's like non-stop. Any of them, fantastic.
The one thing you could say
them.
For Marvel, though, is at least they've never fully gone with the reboot. Whereas DC's done it like 3 or 4
But
times.
I like the reboot is what
you
I'm
like,
saying. Like,
oh,
I like the
that.
Crisis
okay.
because, you know, like we're talking about with Robin's, like, well, just at least do it. Don't half-ass it. Do it all the way is what I think the problem is. Because, you know, in Marvel, okay, Punisher is one of those characters that supposedly doesn't have any superpowers, but lately he kind of does because he's still a Vietnam War veteran that hasn't aged. So they kind of allude to it.
So, you know? But that's like the same thing with Gordon is every so years you have to de-age everyone. To keep it current, like,
well, that's what they did with the New 52. They made them all in their mid to late 20s. Yes, I don't like seeing Batman without,
except,
like,
but they truncated the back end to like 5 years. This they've been around
right,
for
and
five
they still
years.
Had like six Robins. So how did that happen
in the
right,
last
right,
5 years
right,
when
right,
this Batman just
right.
showed up? But then what about Convergence? Like, I didn't. I completely. I only think I.
I think
DC
you're the only person
Batman
that puts this much thought in Convergence
and Justice League. That's the only thing. But no, it got me. I dropped all DC titles except for Batman and Justice League because of all this horseshit. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I'm out. Sorry.
Those are the only two I get too. Now that I think
right,
of it. I get like Justice a few one shots.
So
in a while,
what's going on with the Batman and Justice League? He's a god now.
Well, so
he's
he god sat Batman. On Orion, the Mobius chair that like, and he's like all knowing now. So he's just like kind of floating
and he's a bit
around.
Of a dick too.
Well, he's, a little bit. He's God awesome. Batman, which is like kind of like a wink, wink, nod at the community where he's always kind of been like,
right,
like this all knowing.
Right.
Of
so now he has like the.
Now he's got the power.
Now he's actually
back
in
there. Everything is like black and white. Like, so like Luther, like they've done released another issue, but like Luther is now basically like
he's leading
Dark Side kind of. Yeah. Well, no, not anymore. Oh. He was injected on Apocalypse with like
shit.
The like new god power basically.
That's right, okay.
Well, Jeff Johns secretly hates Batman, I think.
I do too, because if you've read Green Lantern Rebirth, the way that he portrayed him there. However, he did. I lent Joe this comic. It was that Green Lantern where he puts the ring on.
Yeah.
And I think he actually makes. I think he puts him in a very good light. No pun intended.
He
there,
always
but,
writes Batman though as kind of like a dick. Like, granted, I kind of like that, but he always, like, notches it up a little further where it's, like, unlikable kind of thing.
Right.
I mean, in Rebirth...
Not so much All-Star Batman
right.
dick.
Not that level. Yeah. But, like, even in, like, Rebirth, I think he punches Batman in the face, and it's a moment where you... Not maybe... Is it Rebirth?
Well, yeah, but that's an homage to when Guy Gardner punched him in the face.
But it's a moment where you cheer for him getting punched in the face.
Mm-hmm. Kind of. Yeah. He was being an ass. And, like, he's, like, in the shadows, and then all of a sudden, like... Hal Jordan, like, or maybe it was John Stewart, shines his light on him, and he's just like clearly like a man in a costume, and it looks like terrible. Right. That
I've always gotten the impression that Jeff Johns.
Wait,
really
so you know what was the problem with All Star Batman? I never actually read.
Well, first of all, it never ended.
It wasn't a miniseries. He was just a giant dick.
It was supposed to be a new
child abuse. Like, he goes from like cuss swearing. Like, this is the same Batman supposed to be in the same universe as Dark Knight Returns, who's going, watch your language, son.
That's right.
And he's cussing out, goddamn Batman, locking a kid up in a cave,
holy
telling
shit.
Him to eat rats, and bring him kicking the shit out of, like, an 8-year-old
so
or 12-year-old
off
kid.
The rails, Batman.
Yeah, like, not even... I mean, probably the best scene was with Green Lantern, where he paints the room yellow.
Yeah.
And he's drinking lemonade.
Right, like, drinking lemonade.
Like,
just
holy,
to fuck
like,
with him?
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
so that, like, he would just completely isolate, because this is Green Lantern, who's not... against he can't his weakness is yellow
right.
in his yeah that was funny the opposite like Frank Miller portrays Hal Jordan as like the buffoon in that one so
that's what I don't understand so then okay so then going back to the Dark Knight sequels what the fuck is he doing what's going on there
well he's trying to make money the second the Strikes Again is
well just, they got some prequels too I don't know I my faith is restored a little bit by Azzarello like I don't know if we want to get into like I did read like the first issue and
I like the art I like
let's
the
delve
art.
Into
yeah,
it
yeah,
yeah I
well,
like
it's
it
one
too.
Of those things like
before we delve into it
yeah
I gotta piss
okay yeah.
let's take a putt
Jack and Nerd
pee break
Jack and Nerd
Crisis for the geek kind. Top geek officials admit they underestimated the hipster's defense capability. Join the geek revolution and save the galaxy. Geeks from all over the globe are joining up to fight for the future. They're doing their part. Are you? Want to know more? Join Weeby Geeks and the Geek Revolution and save the world. Service guarantees citizenship. Listen to Weeby Geeks podcast on iTunes and Stitcher or online at weebygeeks.net. Weeby Geeks, your voice for the Geek Revolution. Want to know more?
Put that coffee down.
Calling all film fans, want to add a little more fun to your podcast diet? Well, why not listen to the 365 Flicks podcast? We're the lads from Smallville, UK.
We love to bring you the latest news, our own special brand of meaningless movie nonsense, as well as a bunch of top fives you really won't care about.
I'm Kev.
I'm Chris.
We're Pissy.
We're fanboys.
We're having another beer.
We're the 365 Flicks podcast.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, Podomatic, and many, many others.
Also look for us on musingsofageek.com and wickedradionetwork.com.
Sick of listening to all those overpaid movie critics?
Then tune in to the 365 Flicks podcast, your vocal heroes of pissy opinion.
All right, everyone, we're back from the pee break. Everyone's got fresh drinks.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to talk about Dark Knight 3.
Yeah, so I haven't read this,
the
but
Master
you have
Race episode issue one, not episode one. I've read it.
What's the cover price on that thing?
Okay, first of all, this $4.99? Cover price is way too much. It's $5.99.
And this is the
and
thing.
Also, oh, there's 52 covers.
Right.
Fuck off with your 52 variants.
Eight-part series. That didn't cover half of what one issue did in that four-part series.
So decompressed. Now, if you were to buy somebody, I heard, I think Kevin Smith did the numbers. Somebody did the numbers. He's like, if you were wanted to collect every variant, you would spend like $250 on the same fucking comic book.
So I have a nostalgia for the 80s, not for anything else other than the comic books.
Man. Yes. Yes.
I mean, yeah, the music was kind of fun too.
Yeah, you love, we had a new wave, 80s, like,
tangent. But it's mostly the comic books.
So what did you guys think of this?
Well, this wasn't necessary to read part two for this.
Nothing happened. Like
nothing really did happen. Let's talk about what happened. It picks up. Batman is beating up on cops and shit.
Yeah,
basically, and they're shooting at him, and people don't understand why.
Goes to the media.
It goes to the media. They do the
that tells you something right there, because then it cuts to just sound clips of the media rather than actually even just drawing out the media like Frank Miller did. And then you find out Carrie Kelly's Batman. That's it.
That's really it. And then they beat him down.
Wonder Woman like.
Oh, yeah,
milk
yeah.
to a little kid.
But
with
all
her
that
tit.
Would have been covered in like four well, pages.
It's her baby, yeah.
You didn't see that?
She breastfeeds. Wonder Woman
breastfeeds?
That's her
baby?
Yeah, that's
I think that's
I'm
baby.
Glad Never. They could show the tits.
So that's huge. Wonder Woman breastfeeds, people. Yeah. That's huge. Geek Boner.
Is she still made out of clay, though, in this universe? That's kind of weird.
I just try and brush over
but
her.
But wait, Joe, there's more.
Oh, is there?
There's a little mini comic book.
I read that, too.
Glued into the middle that was actually written and drawn by the old school team of Frank Miller and Klaus Janson.
Well, I didn't realize the Klaus. Yeah.
Frank Miller cover is just something to hang up on the wall.
What is that? Wow. So this one regards, so like, I guess, is it
he's
Lara,
like
Supergirl?
He's orgasming in that cover.
Yeah.
Finds, goes to the, wait, so she goes to the Fortress of Solitude and everything's frozen and he's frozen in ice.
I don't know.
What is that?
I don't know.
And so the bottled city of Kandor is there and in fire it says, please help us or something.
Yeah,
I can't even feign
this
reaction.
This is a Batman story, though. This is my
Batman's not in this at
right,
all.
Right, it's like Strikes Again, which is kind of like the same thing. Like, I like the first one because it's a fucking Batman story.
Right, with other, it's like, oh shit, it's the DC universe still exists in this universe, but this is almost
this is Justice League Returns.
But I like how this looks like year one a little bit, the shot of him dropping down with it. That's about it. There's really nothing going on.
The end was my favorite part, and seeing Commissioner... what's her name?
Yindle.
Yindle, yeah. That was nice. The art is similar to, you know, the big shoulders. I really appreciated that.
So she's got
to
be wearing a lot of padding if that's Carrie
Kelly. Yeah, how is Carrie Kelly, though?
But,
that's
so,
what I don't get.
Yeah, you didn't notice the fucking boobs on her? So, big spoiler.
Those are boobs? She I couldn't see. Yeah.
She says Bruce Wayne is dead also. That ends with Bruce
if
Wayne.
If that's I'll just cancel my subscription right now.
I don't
there's
know
no
what's
Bruce
going
Wayne
on.
In it. Yeah.
There's no Batman in this book.
Yeah.
So there's that.
I feel like we've already spent enough time.
Well, Bruce Wayne
tricked
everyone else the first time around that he was dead, so
he tricked
Carrie Kelly.
At the very end.
So you got Justice League, no Batman. Like, this already just made me not want to read any more of them. That's the only thing.
There's no Batman anywhere. Yeah.
There's
right
no
now.
Bruce. Yeah. There's Batman.
Like I said, like, if this was the 80s...
Holy shit, you're right, though. Justice League is a crazy god Batman. The other Batman is James Gordon Batman. In the book called Dark Knight Returns 3, there's no fucking Batman.
Yeah. It sucks right
there's
now.
There's the Batman.
Yeah. And
Ben,
like,
Ben Affleck.
If this was the 80s, if they were going off, like, all of that would have been covered in four pages, you know, and it would have been four part. Like,
this decompressed
writing
is fucking annoying, dude.
And this is how many issues? Eight?
Yeah.
That's a rough.
It could be done in four. Why are they doing this?
Yeah, like, I read it, and it's like, I didn't read anything. It's just like these words aren't.
Also, but you know what? The Walking Dead is kind of like that too. Do you read The Walking Dead? And I still enjoy it.
Yeah. I get the monthly or the bi-weekly.
It's
whatever
a quick
it is now.
Fucking read, and you're like, I spent $4 and that was it. But it's I don't know. It moves.
Really enjoy it.
Yeah.
They have a letter section. Thank God.
Like pages, like three pages of letters, like a really big.
Oh,
letter
I miss
section.
The letters. Yeah.
Nobody does that shit anymore. Marvel has a little bit at the end, and
they do. Yeah.
I think DC should also adopt the prologue page that Marvel does.
Like, oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's an argument that's gone back and forth for so long, and they say that they're never going to do it.
Yeah, why, though? Because like their stuff comes out – it's always like either it's a 1-1 thing or it's delayed, and I always forget like what happened in the
Justice League
DC
takes a long time to come out for some reason.
Give us about one page recap. Instead, they put in like the new 52, like that TV channel.
Yeah, that channel TV 52. Channel with the fucking bug with the grasshopper on it.
Stop doing that, though.
Like, yeah.
That was annoying.
And and the other, especially when you have like them crossing over into different titles, then it's like, okay, which one do I read where? You know, they used to have the checklist.
Yeah.
And now they don't do that. Yeah, so now I don't even know. It pissed me off. Yeah.
Yeah, best and worst time to be a comic. Yeah,
Marvel still does checklists, actually.
They'll have a running thing that goes from here to here to here, which you got. Yeah. Okay, let's get into the big fucking thing that I know Joe's got stuff to say. If you heard our episode
we reviewed
the new Batman versus Superman trailer.
I don't remember everything you said. I do remember talking to my phone, listening to your
I'm show. Good. See, I'm glad we got you talking to your phone, because that was part of, you know.
You son of a bitch, Imran.
Yes, that's
about?
Get a nerd.
That's so you have some strong opinions.
That's what we want to happen.
Well, let's start with Joe.
All right.
No, you start. What were your beefs? Let's go.
You liked it?
I'm saying
this trailer.
No.
Trailer 3.
Well, if this is the only trailer I saw, yes, I'd be happy with it. The fact that it goes from the last trailer we saw and all the trailers up, building up, it felt very anticlimactic.
Okay,
the theme was a little off because it seemed like, oh, you're showing the last.
Is this the latest one?
Yeah.
It's the latest one.
Yeah, it definitely is. Okay, yeah. I mean, you know, I didn't think it gave, like, people talking about how it gave away the entire plot. Like, as I said, like, please tell me where you got the sneak preview for the fucking movie, because I don't see how you know what the entire plot is. And I'm sure they didn't. Like, I was saying, like, okay, they revealed Doomsday. Everyone knew Doomsday was in it. If they didn't reveal Doomsday, people would be watching the movie and coming out of the theater and be like, see, told you Doomsday was in it. I told you. And they'd be all pissed off there. So they knew you knew. They showed you Doomsday. I guarantee you there's more to this. You haven't seen The Flash. You haven't seen Aquaman. You haven't seen
Cyborgs.
I'm sure there's a Luther suit. I'm sure there's plenty. You knew Batman and Superman were going to fight. You knew that they were going to team up because it's called Dawn of Justice right there in the title. And you knew they had to have some sort of...
Great title.
Yeah. I agree.
Sarcasm.
Yeah. He used quotation fingers. And then you knew they had to have some sort of big bad to go up against. And who else? Lex is not going to do it even in the suit. So it had to be Doomsday. People are saying Doomsday or Brainiac, and I think Brainiac would have just been
too much. Is that Doomsday or is that Abomination on screen? What is
because,
that?
Because Doomsday doesn't have optic blast.
The other thing. No one else was going on when Abomination came out being like, that looks like Doomsday. That looks like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles come out, no one was like, that looks like Abomination. But DC brings out Doomsday, which looks like Doomsday from the comic books, and everyone's bitching, so it looks like
Abomination. I don't think he looks like Doomsday from the comics.
He's got the fucking bone thing. He's
barely.
Like, he has the optic blast. That's like not Doomsday.
Doomsday from the comics the is so Turtles much didn't. More...
Abomination didn't look like anything like Abomination from the comics. He looked nothing.
Him
like
streaking down right there. Look how shitty that looks, man.
But Abomination didn't look like anything because Abomination came out before all these things.
Correct. So I mean, in terms of CGI, Joe, that's the point I was going to make.
That's the H... Look at the HD. Look up the HD resolution of it. It looks fantastic.
Fantastic.
No, look at the image. Like, I don't get what people complaining about the CGI. It looks fantastic.
Maybe
looks
in a fine. Freeze frame, but the movement is just freaking weird.
It looks
weird.
Fine to
And then
me.
This is
get.
Like, oh my God, okay. So then he shoots his, like, you know, optic blast at Batman, and then all of a sudden Wonder Woman's there to save
this
both
stupid,
of them?
Though, like, he flinches pretty much there.
He does flinch. He's
I
do like how he's about to swear.
Do you think he's Doomsday in name only? Because they did this with Deadpool, too, where he started shooting optic blasts out of his eyes, and he was like this amalgamation of all these different characters.
Yeah,
and it feels like they're doing that
Doomsday.
With
Doomsday.
Could be. Oh, he's clearly – like so Lex has done experiments on Zod.
Right.
That's the implication here, right?
Yes.
So
right, yeah.
He's not
– Frankenstein's monster, yeah.
Okay. Okay, let's start with Lex.
But no one, I just think that people are it's DC and people like just want to jump on it. And
so you like it?
I do like the trailer, yeah. Right.
I just want to establish this.
Yeah.
Okay.
But why doesn't Clark know Bruce? Shouldn't he know him?
Right, you're new here. Like, what?
What makes you think he knows? I mean, maybe he doesn't know him by face. Maybe he knows, he obviously knows the name Bruce Wayne.
I said this on the show, though, too, that I think they do know who each other are. The conversation is played off like
they
both know
who
each other
are. That raised too many questions, and not in a good way. It's like, why would you go up to someone and say, don't pick a fight with this guy? That's a stupid thing to say.
That's like a joke someone would make at a party, though.
No, that's a bad. That's like me going to you guys and be like, hey, don't pick a fight with this
guy. Well, Lex, I think Lex clearly knows who both of them are.
Correct.
Right.
Clearly,
that's the only way that comment makes sense.
I think they all know who each other are.
That's why he's being a little fucking silly.
It has to be that the case.
That's his like persona.
I think there was a poor choice, a poor scene to pick for this because of that and because of the over-the-top because he's hosting this party and he's – if you look at the later scenes, he's not that over-the-top. And to show that is kind of like your really – your first big scene reveal of Lex Luthor.
That scene worked until Lex Luthor showed up, in my opinion.
I love bringing people together.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. Great. Yeah. I'll pick a fight with this guy. So, enjoy the party.
My criticism largely is how they cut this thing together. Mm-hmm. Like, that was a big
deal. It was thematically all over the
place. We've always said that, like, oh, everyone's so serious. Somebody fucking smile, make some jokes. They put their attempt at humor. You know what? Maybe not so much with the jokes. Take that shit back out. Yeah. I'm sorry I said that.
Yeah.
Because it's not working.
But that's my problem. It's always like people like say one thing, then they get it, and then they complain regardless.
So hold on, though. They've said that they're going to not do the humor that Marvel has. Is this like someone else? I don't think Snyder cut
this trailer.
They tried to market this in a way that's like Marvel. I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt and say that this is a badly cut trailer.
Yes, and I think that they're not even like going to promote this as much as the other trailer.
Right.
If you look at like on demand, like that trailer dropped on demand. You can watch it anytime. The moment it was released on the internet, it was on my cable. I can still watch it. This is not. Nah, it's not.
That's interesting.
And then also, like, plus the bitch and all that, that's like a late night program. Like, you can't put that in front of every movie, I don't think. I don't know how, like, because, you know, we were talking about this before, how it exactly works. I mean, I don't know if they can show a trailer for a PG-13 movie in front of a PG movie, but you'd have to tone it down a bit. You couldn't show, you know, some of the things. They're in this. The other one, I don't think there were too many problems.
That one is good. That
was a good trailer.
Let's focus a little bit, though, on Batman, because this is a Batman.
What's with the branding? Why is he fucking branding these dudes?
I don't know. I don't mind
what
that.
It's like Zorro.
On what you've seen so far, before Imran cut me off, as per usual.
Sorry.
What, Anthony? What are your thoughts on Batman from what you've seen so far?
The best Batman ever. Like, this Batman is fucking awesome.
I wish there was more Batman in this to judge.
He looks amazing. Yeah.
I want to see more of Affleck talking.
We did get that.
That got a huge amount of controversy, and I don't mind Ben Affleck.
I love the voice modulator he's got. You know,
I like it modulating other than actually him trying to do the voice.
I don't think we're getting that because I think...
Yeah, no, it's like it'll be a device, right?
Right, yeah. Even outside the armor, like, because people were also... Another podcast was arguing that he wasn't using a modulator outside the armor costume, and I say that he is, unless they
Plus, how about that armor is all fucking CGI? That's fucking crazy, dude.
But like, to get that motion...
Makes a lot of sense. By the way, did you notice that's Jimmy Olsen in the wheelchair? I don't think he has legs in this movie.
That's still a rumor.
Jimmy Olsen was a girl in the first one, right?
Yeah. Jenny Olsen.
Right there.
Wait, hold on. What? You're pointing someone in the background. Yeah, like
you're pointing
rooftop.
At a building.
No, this
right
guy
now.
Right here.
That's Jimmy back there. But we're looking at this like this is my okay. Marvel always touts themselves up being like about realism and all this shit, you know?
Yeah.
And that's my problem. Like, this seems very realistic. This is a realistic reaction to the events of Man of Steel. Like, if something like that, you'd have a memorial. Like, Superman might be seen as a hero. Some people would have problems with the, you know, conspiracy theories. Upset at him. And Batman...
Here is our argument, though, against
this
that.
This is the larger problem.
The larger argument was, and I want to hear your opinion on it now that you've expressed this. Was this always the plan, or was this reactionary to what the controversy was in the first
movie? But I think it's a smart move that they did.
But everything they're doing is so reactionary. This trailer, it seems reactionary, because everyone's like, where's the humor? Where are the jokes? They try to put some humor. It doesn't work.
Superman... What was the fucking name? Man of Steel came out in 2013. Is that right?
Yeah, 13.
12. And then,
12 or 13, maybe.
13. And then they announced this movie at the Comic-Con following that the next year. Immediately put Batman into it. So that was clearly reactionary.
But that seems like a smart way to do it. Like, you can't copy what Marvel's doing because then you get labeled copycats.
Yeah, that's true.
You do this and you're labeled, Marvel spent all this time building up their thing and now you're just rushing it. Okay, so you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
But it's not rushed. This has been...
Right.
production
right.
for.
I'm just saying.
Right. No, they're backed into a corner a little
bit.
Right.
And it's that, you know, it is their fault for waiting this long. But also, you know, people forget that DC are the rocks that Marvel's cinematic universe were built on.
Yeah.
You know, if it wasn't for, you know, Chris Reeve's Superman, if it wasn't for the 89 Batman, and, you know, all these movies
they
preceding
got first.
It.
Yeah, they got their first on the screen.
Yeah, well, Marvel is still making flub after flub. Oh, and, you know, Blade does not hold up. I think, you know, Superman and Batman definitely do. And now, yes, they're doing, they had to sell all their characters to Disney. Marvel themselves aren't doing that great of a job. Disney's doing a great job with their properties and doing what they should have done. You know, that's.
I don't think they'll have a problem getting Batman right, because if there's anything DC's done it's Batman.
Right.
But
yeah.
It's the fact that my problem with DC is I feel like they transfer Batman's qualities onto every other character.
So yeah, Man like of Steel.
Man of Steel, the tone of Man of Steel. It's not Superman.
But people, that's the other thing. People complain about the monochrome. You know, you gotta have a blend if because you have these two characters together. It's not like the Marvel universe where all the characters are bright and colorful, kind of maybe with the exception of Punisher, which is, that's one of the things about the characters. He stands out so much that everyone hates him. He's seen as a villain.
He is black,
but you need black, to kind of have like a in between there. Otherwise, these movies wouldn't really fit in the same universe.
I guess the muted colors for Superman, though. Tonally, you couldn't put
I get why people have a little bit of beef, but I've never watched a movie and be like, I don't know, the blues weren't vibrant enough. I don't like the movie. Like,
it's
purple. Yeah,
I just shot with a blue filter to give you a slightly depressed, icy.
I get it's Jessica Jones, but you really have to put all the purple.
My problem is that, like, if you go to that end shot over it's Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman standing together.
Yeah.
You can't even tell that they're wearing different colors. It almost looks like they're all wearing black. That's how chromed
cool
out
to
it
me,
is.
Though. You know,
I mean, and we said in that show the only problem I have, it looks like a really bad green screen to me. Oh, whoops, where is it? However, I can't. You gotta say like. To see these three guys on the screen,
this hero shot is cool, but I didn't feel it would be as cool. Like, and why are they standing there for so long?
Why does Batman have a gun?
Well, that's some sort of
like the thing from Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, it could be like an electromagnetic pulse, which is probably not going to work on Doomsday.
There's just something off. I don't feel like they're in. It looks like
it looks like they're all superimposed on each other, right?
And it really bothered me.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just not seeing it. I don't see.
But to see the fucking Trinity on screen, come on, that's badass. These are household names.
I think they all look fantastic. Wonder Woman, Superman, Batman all look amazing to me.
Joe, did you like Man of Steel?
You know, I didn't like when I in repeated viewings. I've liked it more. I do have problems with it, like the fact that his real father's dead, yet he can interact with him. That kind of mutes the loss of that. You know,
sure.
You know, definitely the Kevin Costner death scene seemed redundant and unnecessary. I didn't have really a problem with like Zod's death or like the destruction because I kind of rationalized it the same way. So,
right.
You know, those are my two problems with it. It wasn't that
I think
great.
That's part of me and Imran's gripe is that if Man of Steel was better, I would feel a lot better about this film.
And
I think I'm carrying over our bias against that film to this one.
And
I believe
it's the same writer, I think. People like give Snyder too much of the beef there.
That's
Goyer,
right?
Goyer.
Oh, Goyer's writing this too.
Yeah,
this
and I don't really. A lot of his things are a little. He did Batman Begins, though, too, didn't he?
I think he did all three of them. He also did.
But I think
Blade
he had less.
He's done a lot of
he had a less of involvement with Batman Begins, if I remember. I thought it was Nolan's brother.
Yeah,
and then
Jonathan Nolan.
Yeah, and I think that's probably what brought that. That's my favorite of the trilogy, or probably if an unbiased look, because I'm biased of the 89, probably the best Batman movie, in my opinion, we've had to date. But yeah, I think Goyer is a little, I don't know.
I think that's where a lot of people are
that's
questioning this film.
Right.
It's not because of
it's
these
gonna
character
look great.
Choices or how it's going to look, but it's just the fact that Man of Steel was such a divisive film.
Yeah.
And now you have basically the same team kind of not only doing this film, but kind of like godfathering this DC universe thing.
Yeah, I would like to see different writers. Right, I'm totally confident in the directing. And yeah, I do agree. I do agree. Like, as much as I didn't think Man of Steel was great, I didn't think it was bad, you know, but I don't want that to be like.
But you don't
saying,
want
like,
that to be this.
Right, right.
Yeah. You want it to be great.
Right.
Well,
right.
Don't forget we have Suicide Squad right after this.
Yeah.
So,
that's Goyer too,
which is a different. Oh, Goyer's writing
that
as well.
He did write
but it's David Ayer.
Yeah, yeah.
And Batman will be in that too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great year. I mean, we got Civil War, Deadpool.
Lots of heroes fighting each other. My problem really is with, if you listen to the show, we said it, Zack Snyder.
That was my problem.
It's gonna look great. I don't feel he gets great performances from his actors.
I mean, I don't see what you're talking about.
Because I don't connect with them. Like, I just, it feels
everything's
flat.
Very flat.
Yeah. I don't walk away really connecting with
but
these
he makes,
people.
Like, I mean, like, I don't know, give me an example, because, like, Watchmen seems like he had to make necessary to condense that that comic book into a 2.5 hour movie.
Yeah,
I mean, even then, like, and then they have the director's cut, and then the the pirate black ship thing. You know,
yeah, because he took a whole like. There's
I mean,
a whole story
that's
I'm
some
missing.
Dedication there. I really can't imagine anyone doing a better job.
No, it
of that
looks
graphic.
Amazing, but he had source material. He was pretty much just copying the story and
that's
the storyboards
a lot of
and
I mean,
shots. But the characters, dude, I didn't like. The characters don't seem that.
But they're very cliched. That's the whole point of the Watchmen.
Well,
at least
true.
We're talking about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I think Henry Cavill, if you can cite an example.
Cavill was great. I'm trying to think of an example
like,
now.
He did I think he did a great job with Watchmen. Rorschach in particular, I think, was a great characterization. And,
I mean, going back to even 300, he made that guy.
Dawn of Dead was really good.
Yeah.
I like Dawn of Dead.
He impressed me with
I mean,
that.
The only
I
problem,
only like
300. Even Sucker Punch, like, you know.
Oh, man.
It looks amazing, but he wrote it, and it's a shitty movie. But still, like, watch that movie. Like, it looks beautiful. Like, I can't, I mean...
It's beautiful. No,
right, well, we all
problem.
Think it's going to, this will
look
great.
Right.
But he didn't write it, yeah. And, like, I get, like, so don't blame, you're saying you're blaming Snyder, but I'm wondering what can you cite me as an example of where...
It's just the overall feeling. Like, I don't, maybe it's like, I didn't walk out of Man of Steel feeling the same way I walk
well,
out
you said,
of,
like,
a Marvel
was it a
movie.
Performance? Like, what performance?
It was...
Not only that, but, like, with Man of Steel...
It's, like, all very style and
no,
not
a
lot of substance.
Listen. Man of Steel, like, so that train fight scene, it just goes on and on and on, all right? Then you have this the scene where he fights Zod, and they're punching each other against buildings, and... In fight scenes, there's kind of supposed to be a mini story in fight scenes.
But that's the job of the writer, not the director.
But like, the director has...
I just said, use this exact point. Line, I probably got... Style over substance. Style is the job of the director.
Yeah.
Substance is
the
job of the writer.
But how many times can you see a building explode before you're like...
But he was
enough.
Given a job to direct that scene. It was an action scene. He filled it out. He knew he had this much time to put in. He probably extended it a little bit. I thought it was a great action scene. That was definitely not one of the problems I had. It was very realistic, and you know, I thought the CGI.
So where does Snyder gets no blame for making a film that was that great?
If your problems with Man of Steel, the problems I have with it are with the writing.
Okay,
nothing in the directing. You might. I could see why some people would have a problem with the color palette. But once again, I wouldn't go walk out of a movie and be like, the blue wasn't vibrant enough, so I give it a F. Like, I still, it was brilliantly, like the characters or the acting was well done. I mean, my problems with it were like shitty writing, like the death of
I think
Paul
a director
Kent.
Has more to do with it than, I think a director can take a shitty screenplay and make it
bigger. No, you have a, I mean, yes, they can sometimes maybe say, you have a studio gives you a script. They're not. You're paid to make that into a movie. Like, you can't always, like, maybe some directors are given more leeway and they can have you rewrite something. And maybe Zack Snyder's probably at that level right now, but he wasn't always. And you're right. A studio pays a writer to give you substance. And a director can do the best to make, the only thing he can do is make something maybe not hit you over the head and make it a little bit more subtle, you know, a theme of a movie rather than just hitting you over the head with
definitely,
this, like, this is,
definitely.
This is, you know. And well, I don't see that with Zack Snyder. Well, he's given, like, too much grief.
I'll cite an example. Yeah. And maybe it's the writing or maybe it's him. But the shot of Henry Cavill in church with the Jesus glass pane right over his shoulder.
Yeah.
That is very not subtle enough.
Right,
that
and that would
like,
be an
that
Jesus
would be the writer,
engine.
Right?
And that
it,
that's, no,
that I don't,
would,
that's,
no, that'd be
that's
the director.
That would
directing.
Totally be the director.
He,
that's on set right. type of thing. Like,
but that is like a very
here.
Prime example of me, of Zack Snyder never being subtle, of always hitting you over
but
the head.
But he's doing, I mean, it's not like Punisher Warzone where they made like a joke of it.
Right.
I mean, I think like something about he's making images, and I think that's one of his things. And I've heard, like, I cite this quote often because I agree with it completely, and they said the same thing about Citizen Kane when that movie came out, and a little later the critics said with 300 that you could take freeze frame any shot in that movie, print it out, and hang it on your wall. It's a work of art.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
that's just
that's
what he's doing.
No, his compositions
that
are amazing.
Yeah, I mean, like, look at that
his
for example
compositions
right there
are amazing.
So he didn't want to waste a shot there. He wanted something in the shot to explain, you know, the theme going forward. And yes, he probably could have made that one scene a little bit more.
But it's not only that. I mean, I think he falls out of the ship with his arms out like Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. And there's plenty of – but that's going into the theme. And Superman always, even the comic –
he's always been Jesus.
Yeah,
yes.
and there's plenty of, you know, hitting you over the head in the comic books with it. You know, I mean, I think he did a great job of adapting it. And, like, I think the movie is not one of my favorites by any means. And I blame everything – that I have a problem with on the writing of it, though. You know, I think that that's – a lot of people, though, see a name and they think the director has complete control over everything, and everything wrong with it is Zack Snyder's fault. And I don't see – he gets a lot of hate, and that's one of my problems. It's like I couldn't pick anyone better to helm like the DC universe. I don't, in my opinion,
don't,
I think
really.
It's the, I wow. think it's perfect. You know, I mean, like you, even if you brought a name like Scorsese, well, he'd probably do something like Nolan did and would try and make it gritty,
no,
realistic.
I agree.
You know, I mean, I want to see someone that's passionate
yes,
about the source material.
Exactly.
And
yes.
who is more passionate than yes. Zack Snyder?
You his know? Passion is there. Yeah. I'll give him. Despite
what do you
all
think,
the
Jimmy?
Hate,
I mean, the passion is clearly there. But sometimes, yeah, you need. I don't know.
The guy's invested. He's all in on this. He's like, yeah.
I'm not all. I mean, no. I'm gonna see. I'm excited, but I'm prepared to be let down in the way that Man of Steel let me down. But that you know, yeah.
I really hope not. Yeah. I mean, I
hope not.
No,
but
I'm not
it just
rooting
looks,
against.
Look
the
movie. How busy. No, I'm not rooting against.
Well, that
it. I'm not
yeah,
ready
no,
to.
Here's my argument with the busy.
There's
thing.
A lot of shit going. Have to
there's
go
a lot
on
of shit
thing.
Going. But if you broke down everything in Civil War, you could say the same thing.
And, well, I would
cross,
say the same thing.
You got Crossbones. You got like there. But they. You could say
I'm not excited for Civil War.
You could say the same thing about Avengers: Age of Ultron or Avengers. It's too busy. But
yeah, and those movies aren't great.
But I never would I say it's the well yeah I probably would but no you don't hear that complaint when it comes to Marvel is what I'm saying though I'm not
I think
saying
Marvel's
you.
Built up more of a track record
I think that's true
it.
And I think there
yeah.
are people who say
group.
Those things but you just don't hear it in the din of everyone
DC has a track record with great Batman movies and you can hear that
but this isn't this universe though.
This is, kind that, of their, yeah, this is kind of the reset. The, yeah. Look, I feel like we got to give him a little more benefit of the doubt. I mean,
that's
right.
what I'm saying.
Okay.
That's totally
Snyder
giving it the
only,
benefit of the right.
He's got a handful of movies. Like, really. He's done a handful of movies. This is them starting their fucking shit for now.
I just think DC gets too much bitching pointed at them. Yeah,
they do.
But rightfully so. They should have.
A lot of times it feels like they don't trust their own shit.
They have. Where was Marvel in the 70s? They're making shitty Fantastic Four movies that didn't come out. They made shitty fucking Howard the Duck movies.
I think because
they had to sell their characters. That's what they
were. Hold on. If you're talking about like world universe building movies, fine. But when the Nolan Batman films are coming out against, you know, Avengers and stuff like that, like I was totally looking forward to those insular movies more than like a huge world building film. And now I guess that they're doing it. Are they going to do it right? What's right? Is it? I mean, a good movie is going
to
be right.
I've always thought that the special effects weren't there for Marvel to properly do this. It was there for the DC heroes because of the way
come on,
they
made Superman. Like you
they made Superman
make a
fly.
They believed
make,
us.
If they can do, you can make a man. You can believe a man can fly. You could believe a man could swing.
Dude, there's no way they would have been able to pull that off.
But do you remember some of those old 70s Spider-Man
yes,
where like the big one was like him like shooting a web
that's
net over like a radar dish?
It was horrible. I love that show.
Marvel's been always ahead of the.
No, they haven't.
No,
they haven't.
DC's been, and yes, right now they are, but DC's had 20 years ahead of Marvel.
Yeah.
And where was Marvel? They weren't doing shit. Like, so, yes, I agree that while that they could have been doing this from, you know, the inception of Iron Man and all that, and instead they had, you know, Nolan doing Batman, which they kind of already started, and they were going to do the George Miller Justice League, and, you know, they had, you know, but and they kind of always go back to the Batman thing instead of trying the Flash. I agree with all these things. But once again, it's a harsh criticism when Marvel has just in the last 10 years they started doing something and they've been around since the 60s and they haven't done shit. So, I mean, they wouldn't be doing anything right now if it wasn't for DC's movies.
No, I always say we think like DC did it first. Marvel sometimes doesn't
matter. You don't even look at their characters, except with the exception of like Namor the Submariner, and like they're all ripoffs of DC characters.
Oh, yeah. No,
but
DC
here's
did
the
all
thing, though.
First.
They're all ripoffs, but the modern fan doesn't give a shit. Marvel's doing it right now.
Well, they don't give a shit when it's Marvel, because now you'll get like, oh, Marvel did it first, so anything DC does is copying them, even though they're characters that were created before Marvel, and Marvel characters pretty much rip off of, and not entirely true, but
no, but
many
you're right. I mean, I think like DC right now, DC's killing it on the CW small screen shit, and they're killing it with their animated features. Like, I just wish they would make those into fucking live action movies.
They kill it with Batman.
And
I want to see a Flash. I want to see Dead Man. I want to see like
Justice League
like
Dark.
I want to see that dark movie so bad. I want to see a proper
Ron
Swamp
Perlman
thing.
Ron Perlman as Swamp
Sandman. Ron Perlman as Swamp Thing.
They're looking into
that. That's what they're saying. But I want to see. Yeah, I agree. And it, but. you know, I mean, 10 years is a short time, you know, in the movie-making world.
Absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely.
And when all of the Avengers are aging out and going on to other projects...
They're going to have to recast these motherfuckers
DC's
really
gonna
soon.
Yeah, DC's going to have a universe.
Like, Anthony, you're saying Marvel is doing it right. Well, they're making a lot of money, but there's fatigue. There's a sense of fatigue in what they're doing right now.
True.
And, like, that Civil War, for everyone's like, oh my God, it's all one shot, and Winter Soldier and Cap are beating up on Iron Man. And that just looked like cartoon garbage to me.
Yeah, like that.
Honestly,
I liked it a lot.
I'm excited about it. My only thing is, like, it's a Captain America movie. I think that would have been a better Avengers movie than a Captain America.
It's basically Avengers 2.5.
Like right.
Spider-Man's going to make his debut in it. I am excited about Marvel getting
Spider-Man. But I'd like to see Daredevil in it too, from the Punisher, because these all had.
See, that's going to be a little bit trickier to pull those guys
on TV with on Netflix, though. The guy that cast from The Walking Dead, what's
he's gonna be amazing.
See, that's where I talk about with the when you bring up fatigue, that'd be my counters. They're doing the Netflix stuff. They're doing like the it's kind of like Marvel Max on TV.
Yeah, well, I said the films are fatiguing.
Yeah. Okay, those are my favorite of Marvel.
But bottom line,
but before you bring that, I just want to say, like, DC has to nail it. Like, I know you say, like, Avengers, they'll age out, and they will. But DC has to nail it. That's why I'm so hard on them.
This movie is making or breaking.
This
movie is a failure.
I want to continue.
I just say give them a chance. Because if you have all these negative opinions and you have based off of just a shitty, someone that cut the trailer shitty.
Yeah, why are you guys such assholes?
No, I mean, just see the movie.
Sucks.
Just see the movie and give them a chance. You know, that's all.
How about fucking Frank Miller? Did you hear his comments about Daredevil Electro?
He's an ass.
He's like, I haven't seen Daredevil, and that's not Electro.
I think he's been hanging around with Alan Moore too much.
Insane, and like he's been that way for 10 years or more, since always.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he was always insane, but like not successful enough to be truly insane. And then when he got successful enough, he just let it all out.
The last guy we need to go nutty after him to joining Alan Moore, Neil Gaiman,
Graham Morrison,
Alan Moore, Frank Miller. Oh, and then
Graham Morrison's always been kind of nutty.
Graham Morrison over Neil Gaiman because
Graham Morrison first.
But he's always like, I've seen alien beings when I take LSD, so it's like, okay, Grant,
dude,
keep writing. Mostly good books, and then some.
Well, I mean,
you know.
In fact, Multiversity. I mean, you got to be kind of insane,
dude,
I love Multiversity.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
He took like ayahuasca and went on a fucking journey and wrote this.
That's another book you kind of need like a guide while you're reading.
You do,
but I don't mind that.
I loved it. I like Multi. It was better than Convergence.
Fuck yeah,
you guys! That was exactly the conversation I wanted to get into.
Well, we
guys.
Needed that because we, and me and Imran have been too agreeable on how much we hate.
I need another side. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad, yeah.
And you may be right. I may be confusing writing with the directing. A lot of times I don't actually stop and think, okay, what's bothering
me? Not only two things, though. The studio is involved on a producer level, too. And I think that Zack Snyder doesn't have as much control as we maybe give him credit for.
Yeah.
And I think there's maybe, are there too many cooks? Too many
cooks.
That's
a great
cooks.
Video, by the way. But like what they did at Disney, getting them out of that little committee, and where Kevin Feige now reports right to the fucking guy, that's what they need to do over there.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, I bring up Star Wars very much.
They just need to have some confidence in some of their sets.
That's what I'm saying. They don't, even in the comic books, it seems like DC Warner Brothers has no confidence in any other shit.
We don't need 5 Batman titles a month. Give me some fucking Deadman. Give me some Animal Man.
Yeah.
You know, something.
You
I feel like there's
confidence.
Like some executive like watching analytics and they're like, okay, our stock is down in this movie. Let's put Wonder Woman
Batman,
in. And let's see what
happens. Another current theme we talk about
the
is
Batman
that.
Shoot.
I think a lot of that, though, too, a lot of that is that they failed on Green Lantern. I think Green Lantern that was supposed to be their thing. They like kind of like go off and try things.
They were going to build a
Yeah,
I hope they
learned
their lesson because
Green Lantern really
on.
Screwed up a lot of things for
DC. And
it was funny about that movie. I watched that movie in two halves. Right, I watched the first half of it.
Right,
and then I had to go to work, and I was like, dude, it's not bad. The first half was really cool. Like I enjoyed the Oa. I enjoyed him getting. And then I go back and I watch the second half of the movie. Yeah. And the next day I go back, I go, wow, that movie fell apart quicker than anything I've fucking seen.
It didn't fall apart quicker than Fantastic Four.
It was close.
Have you seen the recent one?
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
It was close.
I mean, it's that bad? Yeah.
Yes, you can see where the
that's
studio
what I thought
walks
the
in.
Josh Trank, like, left, basically.
No, they kicked him out, and they reshot and
rewrote
the second
I've heard
half.
The reshoots are very obvious.
So
like, very Kristen Wiig
you
or
can
whatever
literally
her
see
wig is very obvious.
The moment where the studio comes in, they're like, all right, what the fuck is this? Get the fuck out. Get them to the heroes already. We got to make...
It was like making like an arty...
Do you blame
like,
the studio or the director?
Both.
Like,
both.
Yeah. I feel like, both. I mean, he because he from all the reports, and it's the studio obviously leaking it, but he was very unprofessional.
Very amateur. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. He would like be like drunk.
He tweeted shit out about the movie. Yeah. Like, no, you don't do that.
Yeah, Star Wars or Lucasfilm, basically. He was supposed to direct a Star Wars spin-off, and they fired him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's a bit...
But you know what? I think he could save his career. People have done worse.
You know, well, he's never done... He hasn't done...
He hasn't anything good enough to redeem himself.
Well, there's one guy that I compare him to, Fincher. So Fincher...
Really?
Remember Fincher did Alien 3?
He did Alien 3.
That was his first film, and he was basically disassociated from that.
He didn't like, attack people.
He basically wanted to be credited as Alan Smithy on that
To Tranks at least has Chronicle that he can fall back on and be like, I did Chronicle.
Yeah, people that's...
But I think there's a difference between, like, having a bomb and also, like, being... hard to work with.
He got in the face of the cast. They almost got into a fight. Destroyed the house.
Fincher had done music videos before that, but he's done Fight Club, Seven.
He's my favorite director right now.
David Fincher's amazing.
That was his first movie, and he was just sort of a figure. In like he was not the director of that,
but it's a lot. There's a lot of parallels with the studio interfering.
Yeah, it did kill his career, but he wasn't a fucking idiot about it.
Right, I think like you look at Sean Young and numerous people. If you're bad to work with, you'll never work in this.
That's true.
You can't have
attitude, man.
He was very
You can get me out of
professional about leaving that project.
Just like Edgar Wright too with Ant-Man. He was smart. He's like he worked on this movie for years.
Yeah,
this was his.
Oh yeah, I remember that promo that came out.
And at the end, he's like, okay, look, you guys want to go this way? I want to go this way. I'm going to just go. Take over. And they fucking saved that movie really well.
I do think DC needs a little bit more competitive because the Atom was original, if I think, a year or two. Yeah. Like, if I hear an Ant-Man movie's coming out, I'm putting out an Atom
Atom
movie.
Atom was way before it.
Like, same thing, all these things. Like, it kind of seemed like the same thing with, like, the Flash and Quicksilver. Oh, they're putting the Quicksilver movie? We're going to get a Flash show. Oh, Hawkeye's in the... Yeah. You know, we need to get a Arrow show out there.
That's too many. There's double... I just feel bad for the parents buying Flash action figures in the future. Because if they buy the wrong one, their kid's going to be pissed. Like, fuck, which Flash did he want? Yeah. This one or the other one?
Do you want the DC movie or the Green Arrow show?
Plus, the DC movie Flash, it's his suit. It's not the Speed Force or some shit.
We'll see.
Oh, really?
It's kind of the shit. I heard it's like
Wait, say what?
I heard it's, there's rumors
he's wearing
that it's
a
like
suit
a tech
that makes
suit.
Him fast.
Yeah. Oh, really?
The suit is designed to not break apart as he runs. What?
Yeah. Okay. Maybe that's it.
I hope it doesn't come out of the ring.
As long as it comes out of his ring.
I hope not. I
no,
don't
why?
Like that.
You don't like that? That's awesome.
I love it. Yeah.
How did the soles of his boots fit in there? I could get it on the cloth, but how did the soles of his boots fit in there?
It's the Speed Force.
Speed Force micro
science.
Things. Yeah. Miniaturization.
Why can't he miniaturize himself?
Well, who says he can't? He just
the Atom can.
Yeah.
Plot holes, people. Mm. All right, you guys, thanks so much for hanging out. This has been
great.
Thank you. We're going to give out the final plugs and wrap this shit up. All righty. The Jock and Nerd Podcast. You guys, tell everyone where people can find the awesome Bruce Wayne's World podcast.
We're on iTunes. We're also at the Batman Universe. .net. And Bruce Wayne's World is the name of our show.
And it's got a great theme song. I love that.
You like
that?
Daniel,
yeah, Tiny Miles Trio, yeah.
It's very fun because it's also like an Aurora, Chicago thing.
Yeah,
it all ties together.
Yeah.
Chicago Podcasting Unite. And then you guys got a Twitter?
Bruce Wayne World, no apostrophe, no S. So,
So at Bruce Wayne World. And then also on Facebook. Which is
we have a Bruce Wayne's World, and then we're also on the Batman Universe. So
I will put all these links
in the show
notes. That you can find going to jockandnerd.com/ whatever episode number this is.
I'm so fucking glad we had these guys
on. I don't know, right?
Anytime. We've had a good time.
Dude, Anthony was like, this was like his dream to just geek out on
Batman. Anytime, you guys. Yeah.
Little secret, listener, there's going to be more Batman geek out because we're turning around and we're recording an episode of Bruce Wayne.
It's like a crossover, like in the comic books.
This is a multi-part crossover.
Yeah.
So I'll put a link to that episode also.
What was the DC Marvel thing? Was it Amalgam? Is that what it
was? Amalgam,
there was Amalgam,
Dark Claw. Captain America and Superman were together.
I have the oversized Superman versus Spider-Man. That oversized. Have you ever seen those? I bought that at a comic
convention.
You did.
I was with you when you bought
it. You did.
This is our Amalgam.
Oh.
I've always, because ever since I was a kid, I've seen that in the ads.
With them fighting on the Empire State
Building. Yeah, or wherever he is. But then I got to buy it. But yeah, dude, check out all the stuff. Check the show notes right in your iPod podcast app, whatever the fuck it's called. But here's what we guys want you to do. Three things. Number one, if you want to contact us, just go to jockandnerd.com/contact. It's got lots of ways to contact us. You can send us a speak pipe. You can send us an email. You can send us a tweet.
Facebook.
And we'll read it on the show. What's number two, Anthony?
I don't know how
you're testing you.
You
it's not here.
Subscribe on
there you
iTunes. Go on to jockandnerd.com/review to give us a nice rating or review. It really helps the show. And subscribe on
it's
any
free.
Of your podcast catching apps.
And finally, listener, and you guys, just tell a friend. Mm. I want you to go up to the next person you see. You have to have a timpani with you.
Some grassroots stuff.
Timpani.
Find a timpani, strap it to your person.
What's
and
a timpani?
It's one of these. So it has to be, you have to get that timing. It's all audio branding.
Yeah, there you go.
And then just give them, or you can give them one of these.
Jockey nerd.
Okay. Whatever you want to do.
There you go.
Tell a friend, turn them on to the geekery.
Can I sneak into too. My friend's house and whisper that into their ear as
yes.
they're sleeping?
That sounds like this.
Jockey nerd.
See?
How'd you know? That sets the mood.
You're ready. Yeah.
I didn't know I had that. I don't even know.
All right. Pull that out of the back pocket, huh?
Thanks to Jimmy and Joe from Bruce Wayne's World.
Thank you.
And thanks to you guys.
From Wings World. Is that what you were going to say?
I was going to say Buffalo Wild Wings World.
Buffalo Wild Wings World.
Fucking chicken. My name is Imran.
My name's Anthony.
He's a jock.
He's a nerd.
We'll catch you next time. What was that?
I don't know.
Listener, go check out our show on their podcast. Link in the show notes. I don't know. Sometimes we keep talking.
Yeah. We're good. Mm.